Like a lot of my projects, it started out with a pretty simple, straightforward idea. I'd been upgrading the emularity at the Internet Archive for a number of years now, which mostly involved going over old drivers, finding out if they had improved them, and doing upgrades. But over time, I had neglected to add new drivers that now started to work or were working better than they ever had before. And I wondered, how many has it gotten up to in that absence of attention? Well, the answer turned out to be thousands. So, within a very short time, my simple idea became a massive project, and it leads me to reminding myself that very few people know the deep intricacies of the emularity system. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Peter Healy, Daniel Boyd, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. The emularity system is a wonder, not just about what it does, but that it works at all. It represents a combination of factors and forces ranging from the Internet Archive's internal development and infrastructure, and members of the MAME team and other emulator authors working together to make a system that works in the browser and interlocks just enough that in theory, it's, and I'm making air quotes here, easy to work with. The reality, of course, is that there are probably less than 50 people, and I'd probably even go far enough to say less than 10 people, who really understand it from one end to the other and what goes on. I'm not going to be able to bring you up to speed on that right now, but at least I can touch on some of what's going on, especially as this new batch comes online. The concept is very simple. Take an emulator that can run inside of a browser, either in JavaScript or WebAssembly, and a simple system for loading in what particular program or game or machine or arcade system is being used and make it all pop up in the browser screen without the user having to do too much work. Going from a simple click to having a computer boot up or an arcade machine starting, that was the goal. That goal is pretty much achieved. If you go to archive.org/details/internetarcade, you will find hundreds upon hundreds of video games going back to the 1970s and coming up all the way through just a few years ago and be able to play them. It may be a little bit surreal to watch them boot up in your browser and then go into an attract mode, but in general, it works. It also works extremely well for other systems, especially one-off emulators that people have created for just one system, say the Amiga, the Commodore 64, or Windows and DOS machines. In all these cases, the emularity system keeps track of which emulator needs what to boot into the browser. The vast majority of machines it supports, however, all come from MAME, and MAME is a giant in terms of what it supports and where it's headed. Besides its incredible level of detail, documentation, and effort to be accurate, it also contains a world of tensions. Tensions between different developers and ideas they have, tensions between the user base and the developers, tension about what an emulator is and what it should do and what part MAME plays in all of it, and in what turns out to be a devil's bargain of success, MAME has so many machines that it supports now that it is impossible for any single person to really understand the state of where everything is at any given moment. And over the years, Internet Archive has supported thousands of different machines that MAME supports. We had a few limitations thrown in there. Machines that were incredibly involved or complicated might not work within a browser. Machines that required laser discs or which had system requirements that would outstrip a lot of regular systems were definitely not going to work within a virtual machine within a browser, but on the whole, millions have been able to go there and enjoy it. So here it was that I thought, well, we've been keeping track of all of these machines, keep them updated, integrate improvements in speed and accuracy that had been added over the years. But it had been years since we had taken an inventory of what MAME could do and then simply add the new ones. So, what do you do to figure out what MAME is capable of? Well, it turns out you can really only ask MAME. There's a set of command lines in the MAME executable that give you XML files that tell you all of the details of different drivers and supported machines. It'll tell you not just what you technically need to know about the machine and what sort of ROMs it needs to function. It'll also give you a rating as to how good the support is for that machine. This rating is a little simple, and it's also self-maintained. In other words, if somebody is working on the driver for a specific machine, they get to decide whether or not it's good now. Some people are happy it's running. Other people will not consider it done until it's indistinguishable from video of the original machine. So I queried MAME to ask it what it thought it supported. And MAME at this point supports over 44,000 different machines. Now, before you panic, a lot of those machines are clones. You'll have a machine that came out and then there'll be a small revision. Those are considered different machines. Same thing if there are bootlegs or almost exact versions that came out but just were entering different markets. There's ways to know this. There's ways to ask MAME about this and then nail it down to a smaller number, a set of unique examples of what it can support. Doing that and then writing a script to cross-reference it with what was already on the Internet Archive, the number came down to about 4,000. After that, I had to figure out a smaller group that I would begin the project with, and I chose arcade machines because generally arcade machines have been easier to implement into the emularity system than computers. Well, it turns out the easiest way for me was to ask each of these files how many coins it could take. If it could take coins at all, it was an arcade machine. Otherwise, I was setting it aside. Using that criteria and getting rid of clones, I ended up with 2,000 new machines to be added to our collection. Now, each one of these steps that I'm mentioning involve my use of scripts. I write very simple but very specific scripts that are meant to do a single thing. Go through all the XML files and return all of the machines that have coins but are not already on the archive. Go through those same files to figure out the description, the year of release, maybe to figure out which exact driver is being used, and then start building up configuration files that the emularity needs to understand what it's doing with this emulator. After a few hours of this, I've created a series of scripts that have very, very specific use and will never see the light of day again. They always have strange names. They look at one specific file. They're meant to do one operation and account for all the strange exceptions I'm running into. They finally put out a series of text files, and then I write the next set of scripts to interpret those text files and move on and on and on. Each time I'm doing this, I'm not documenting them. It's meant to be a one-off operation that will take me a few days, and at the end of it, I'm not going to have anything that I can pass along to others who are in a similar situation. The emularity system is very, very specific to what it does. It's very hard for me to turn around and say, this will have use everywhere. It's not a library or a utility that will function elsewhere. I really do wish that there was a way to pack the emularity up as a suitcase, hand it to others, and just have it work where they are. But right now, that's not happening. I'm too focused on making things work at the archive, and I'm not going to be able to make that general purpose utility I one day dream of doing. In the throes of script writing, I'm constantly throwing around very basic system commands, sed, grep, while, do, because I'm trying to make things work just enough to push programs that actually know what they're doing. I'm never going to recreate something that somebody has made a system utility for. I'm just manipulating strings, making them come around, making them into text files, and then making those text files into configurations based on the output of other scripts that look at them. By the time I finished with the arcade machines, I was up to 1,850 unique machines that had a chance of working within the system. And one interesting side effect of this was that entire classes of machines that we had decided to set aside years ago were now here again, in strength of numbers, and they were ready to play. And that is how we have ended up with hundreds and hundreds of slot machines. Over the years, MAME has focused on different classes of machines based on the whims or designs of its developers. And so, if a developer took an incredible amount of interest in one subset of machines, that subset of machines would get many different drivers and accommodate many specific situations for that machine type. Others might be a little lighter and definitely in need of improvement. Slot machines, also known as fruit machines, had gotten a lot of love from MAME. Hundreds of different variations were being supported within the system, and many of them were extremely similar in how they were built. Slot machines, after all, are very specifically designed, and in many cases have a lot of legal concerns, different gambling authorities who dictate exactly how the system is going to randomly generate numbers and how often it's going to pay out. So modularity is the order of the day. The graphics might change, the animations will be different, but deep down, you're making the same machine over and over and over again. I wasn't comfortable dumping hundreds of slot machines into the Internet Arcade, so now we have the Jackpot Lounge. archive.org/details/jackpot-lounge, and it is the largest collection of slot machines that you can easily get to, and they're all set on free. Of course, you're not going to win any money, but you're not going to lose any playing it either. Built into the gambling machines is an attempt to make you addicted and make you put more money in. So I'm going to be very interested to see how people react to having these online, especially free and easily reached. There are very specific mechanics built into these slot machines that I didn't really understand before I started putting them up. A number of them start up blank and require you to type some keys, that is, press some special buttons to have them turn into slot machines. Otherwise, they're Breakout, they're Tetris, they're Pac-Man. And the reason for that is to deal with local authorities who would walk into a perfectly respectable business and go over to these very obvious machines only to be told that they're simple video games. But a special key press would turn them back into gambling, and a panic button would pull them out again. That's quite a feature to have built into a video game. Besides the slot machine, there's also many, many Mahjong machines. Mahjong seems to have been one of the most popular arcade games based on how many different titles we now support. Besides Mahjong and slot machines, we have a variety of machines that, frankly, I thought we already had covered. But it turns out many of them had very specific technical issues that were preventing them from coming online. Names people would recognize that just simply weren't emulated to the degree that MAME thought they were ready. Well, they're ready now, and games from all over the last 40 years are now in the collection. What the final numbers are going to be from this project, I couldn't tell you. But I will tell you about a very specific feeling that I keep having. The feeling when a new machine boots up is exactly the same for me. Clicking on the button, watching it go dark, and then a number of self-tests, maintenance checks, and settings go by, followed by the game. A game that would be sitting in the dark corner of an arcade or next to the counter of a pizza place, maybe a bowling alley's front entrance, or in the basement of an office or college building. These programs, living again in the browser, are like the rebirth of the most magical things to me. Many of these games never, ever crossed my path through all of my years. Watching them come and try to get my attention, watching them appear out of nowhere into the darkness of a high-definition monitor in a window and wanting me to spend time with them, the wonder of that feeling has not diminished one iota all this time. The nearly 2,000 experiences trying to tell me that I'm worth their time. All of these wishes thrown across decades to me to tell me maybe I want to try to play a game. Well, this feeling, it turns out, will always be here. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Mark Pilgrim, James Bakoyanu, Emilio Oliveira, Corey Thomas, Matt Reynolds, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. A shout out once more to the hundreds and hundreds of developers who have contributed to making what MAME is what it is today. My adding all of these new-to-me drivers really misstates how long some of them have been around. They've been working on these for decades, and the years when these drivers started working can extend 10 or 20 years into the past. And each one is the result of the perseverance and dedication that a group of developers have put together.